As I walk down the sidewalk of a sin-stricken city, I see the misfortunes of men. A man in the gutter, lying there lifeless, clutching a bottle in his hand. He was some mother's darling, maybe some young man's father, but now he's a prisoner to sin. There's no hugs in the morning and no family altar. He gets by the best that he can. Thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar if not for his grace. Lord, help me show others your love and your mercy. Make my life a witness to others, I pray. In a little white church house at an old tear-stained altar, a prayer for God's mercy was heard. Though his sins were many and his burdens heavy, he took the Lord at his word. The angels rejoiced as he was forgiven. Shouts filled the temple that day. Well, I will never get over that trip to the altar, for I was that sinner who prayed. Well, thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar if not for his grace. Lord, help me show others your love and your mercy. Make my life a witness to others, I pray. Well, thank God for that preacher who told me of Jesus, or I'd be a beggar if not for his grace. Lord, help me show others your love and your mercy. Make my life a witness to others, I pray.
Over in Matthew's gospel in the 10th chapter, Matthew in the 10th chapter, praise the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. Don't forget about the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's come and have a good time in the Lord. Appreciate Wednesday night services and all that's been speaking on Wednesday night. And the little list is in the vestibule out there, those topics, and everyone has picked a topic, and we're about halfway through with those, and everybody's been doing an excellent job. And like Sister Connie said, last Wednesday night, Brother Brian over here, my son, spoke, and Brother Kevin spoke. So we thoroughly enjoyed it and been enjoying every Wednesday night. Amen. So, yes. Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Look at the one next to you and say, can you take the heat? I've kind of always been of the mindset like this. If that guy can do it, I can do it. Have you been to that mindset? You kind of like that? You know? I remember telling a story before about me and my cousin one time when I was about 16. And we got a little job one night. These guys was catching chickens in a chicken house. You ever done that? Big, long chicken houses over in Georgia. And they catch them at night and they put up burlap walls and they'll, you know, run them chickens down so far to get them so packed in there. And you step over that wall and reach in the dark and you grab as many legs as you can and you come toting them chickens flopping everywhere. And it's dusty and, I mean, it's a mess, you know. And you walk up the truck, back of the truck, and you throw them down in them coops and you go back down and you cross over the fence again and you get as many legs as you can, come toting them out with them flopping. The guy told us, says, well, I'll give you $20 if you help us catch this house. And so me and my cousin said, yeah, that sounds all right. So we started. We got about halfway through, and my cousin had all he'd take. I mean, all the feathers and the dust and all the chicken stuff and everything else. And, you know, he was about choked up. He said, man, so we done got half of this house here. He said, I can't take no more. I'm about to die. He said, just give me half my money and I'm going to go. The guy said, no, you don't get a penny until we get finished. And you have to finish the job to get paid. If you quit early, you don't get nothing. He said, well, you can have it. He took off, but I heard what he said. You got to finish. I said, I done come too far to turn back now. And buddy, I just dug in my heels and I kept on going over that old wall and I kept on catching them chickens. Amen. Until the last one got caught and the man gave me my 20. And I went home. I could care less about the 20. I was about dead. I threw that thing up on the counter, went into the shower, you know. But I've always been the mindset of not being a quitter. You got to be able to take the heat. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, and verse number 16. Jesus talking, and he says the first word, behold. And we know as an asterism, it means like an explanation point. Like, listen to what I'm telling you now, because you're going to need to hear this. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, serpents are always watching. They're aware of their surroundings, aren't they? They're always on the watch. Be wise like that. But be harmless as doves. Dove wouldn't hurt a flea. But beware of men, for they would deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. He didn't say if they deliver you. He said and when they deliver you. Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Let it soak a little bit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. Thank you for the word and the power of the word. God, I thank you for the calling in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the dedication of thy people. Lord, the ones that has got a made up mind. And Father, that's going to endure to the end. That can take the heat. And Father, this morning, if there's some under the sound of my voice or even listen to this CD somewhere down the road. God, and they've come to a point, it seemed like the pressure is so fierce. Lord, that the mocking and those that comes against them daily seems to be such a reproach. God, I pray, Father, that today you would strengthen them even right now. God, that they can make it. Lord, let them know that you never leave them nor forsake them. But God, you understand and you'll be a mouth to them. God, you'll be a backbone to them. And Father, we can make it. We can endure until the end. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We see here that Jesus is telling the disciples and letting them be aware that their commission is going to be enlarged. You know, if we first get saved, we sit on a pew and never do anything, chances are, no, we're not going to offend anybody. I mean, if we go by a wasp nest every day and never mess with that wasp nest, them wasps just stay right there happy as a lark. But when you begin to stir up their nest a little bit, they're going to try to sting you. Amen. And when we begin to get involved in people's lives like we should, that we should be the light that shines into their darkness, or the salt. Salt will burn some wounds, but it heals, does it not? If we're the salt that stirs people, if we're really who we should be, then we're going to flutter them nest a little bit, and those people are not going to like it. And they're going to come against you, and they're going to somehow try to embarrass you or cut you down or attack you in some fashion. Amen. We see here Jesus is telling the disciples that their commission is being enlarged. And Jesus knew already how that he was upsetting people's apple carts. And that when they would be sent out, that they too would begin to upset people's apple carts. And people are not going to like it. Amen. You see, as long as you never say anything about people being in sin, they'll love you to death. But when you begin to, quote, preach to them, when you begin to let them know, and that's what we're supposed to do. When you begin to let them know that the life that they're living is wrong, I'm telling you, it ruffles their feathers. They don't like that. They didn't like it when Jesus told them. They didn't like it when Paul told them or Peter. And they don't like it when you tell them. But you see, it's not our job to decide not to tell them, but it's our job by the commission God has given us to preach. And what do you think preaching is? Thank God for the preacher. That song's not just talking about Brother David, but every one of us are preachers to go out into a lost and dying world to minister to the world. Every one of us. You're preaching to somebody every day. Their commission is being enlarged. The more responsibilities that you have, the more chances are you going to offend someone. Amen? Chances are, me being pastor of this church, it's easier and I stand a higher percentage of chance of offending someone than maybe you. Even though you may be a hard, great worker in the church, I stand more because I'm seen in more places and more areas of the church. Amen. So the Bible talks about that. He says, you know, be not many masters, for in many things you offend all, you know. And so he's saying here, whenever you begin to put on a lot of different hats, you know, be sure that you can take the heat. Amen. I remember my dad telling the wife and I when the Lord first called us in the ministry back down the road in a little trailer. And he told us, he said, if you knew what the Lord was calling you into, you would ask, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, with the more responsibility comes more situations, more chance that we can, you know, more contact with people that is contrary to what we believe. In fact, he said in Luke's gospel in the 17th chapter in verse 1, Jesus said, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Amen. So as you go on your merry way and you're really being the light of the world, you should be, I'm telling you, you're going to run into someone eventually down the road who don't agree with what you're doing. They won't like you being around them. Amen. Remember John the Baptist? And how that when he went to King Herod, and he began to look at King Herod sitting there with his brother Philip's wife, and he told him, "Man, you're in adultery. You're an adulterer." Amen? What did the woman, you know, Philip's wife say? Told him, said, "I want John the Baptist's head on a platter." She got it, didn't she? Come on. Come on. Now, he could have went in and said, "Oh, King, hey, how you doing? How you doing, sister? You doing good? Oh, y'all look good together." And he could have lived, but what did he do? "You're an adulterer. You're in sin. You're wrong." You see, he was getting the blood off his hand, and he told them what they was doing wrong. Amen. "Well, Brother, I don't want to offend anybody. I want everybody to like me." Hello, Absalom. If you don't know the story of Absalom, you need to read it. It's David's son. It says that it's impossible that offense is... Well, what's an offense? Offense is a trap stick. It's a snare. It's a cause of displeasure or sin. It's things that offend or things that will bend you. Things that will discourage you. Amen? That's what it is. But he says, "But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." How would Jesus handle the situation? Let's look at a few situations in Jesus' life. I mean, what if Jesus had been like me and you when situations come? Huh? "I'm going to get my bat and ball. I'm going home. I quit." No, he didn't do that, did he? Let's look at how he handled some situations. Let's look over here in Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Verse 49. Here's in this time, this is when, you know, Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. And Jairus has come to Jesus, said, "My daughter's 12 years old and she's dying. I want you to come pray for her," you know. And so Jesus starts on the journey. And this is when the woman who had the issue of blood, how long? 12 years. Isn't that strange? The daughter was dying, 12 years old. And all the time this girl been living, this woman been suffering for 12 years. And they both get healed. Woo, check it out. Amen. But anyhow, the woman comes and touches Jesus and the blood stops. You know the story. And Jesus is talking to her and says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith have made thee whole." And then verse 49, "And while he yet spake," talking to the woman, "there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Now, here's Jairus, and he's having to process two reports. "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Be not afraid, believe only, and thy daughter shall be made whole." Which one should he take? Isn't it amazing how that God always has this report and the world and the situations always has this one, but we have to choose? He could have chose, "No, she's dead," and went and buried her. But he didn't choose that, did he? He chose, look, Jesus, when he heard this doubt and this unbelief come and said, "Your daughter's dead." And Jesus just stopped him and maybe shook him and said, "Be not afraid, believe only." In other words, got his mind back over here on this. Amen. I remember one time, a fellow was in the storefront. We had a water cooler around behind the wall there. And he had a sore throat real bad sore throat. Brother Walker. And he came up and he said, "Man, I can't hardly swallow. My throat's so sore." And I laid my hands on him. We prayed for him. Church was around him. We prayed for him. And when we finished praying, I looked at him and he was working up some saliva in his mouth. In other words, he's going to check it out. And the Lord said, "Tell him to go get some water right quick."
I said, "Brother Walker, go get some water right quick." In other words, it got his mind off of that sore throat and got his mind on the fact that Jesus Christ has paid for our healing. And he went around and he got some water and he came back and he said, "Man, it's not hurting at all." Amen. That's what Jesus was doing. He was getting his mind off the situation and back on God. Amen. But Levon, close the back door. Thank you. And he says here, verse 51. "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." Now, how would we handle that? I mean, when you go on the scene on your job and you tell somebody, "I got saved Sunday." "Hey, he got saved, one of them Jesus freaks." How do you handle it? How do you handle it? Huh? When you begin to talk to somebody about the miracle working power of God or the love of God, and they start picking at you and they start laughing you to scorn. I mean, one can start charging at you and laughing at you, and directly the whole band has jumped on it and boy, they're pecking you to death. How many has ever been there? You know what he's talking about? There's not a one in here, I'm sure, that at one time or another, and you let people know how you believe and that you love the Lord, that they start laughing at you. "Oh, man, you old church hypocrite people." I know. That's why they don't go to church. They'll tell you, "I don't go to church because they're hypocrites." You'll look at them and say, "Well, I guess you're going to go to hell with every one of them." It's amazing, isn't it? They laughed him to scorn. What did Jesus do? Well, he put his tail between his legs and he ran like an old bit. "No, I come here to help y'all. Y'all don't care. I'm just going to leave." No, man. He could take the heat. What did Jesus do? He put them all out. Amen. He put them all out of the house. Every bit of the unbelief out of the house. Amen. That's what he did. "And he took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Maid, rise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished." Do you astonish people with your belief? Come on. Do we quit and run and it's still a laughing stock? Or do we stand and take the heat and astonish the people, amen, that we got some backbone? Come on. That no matter what you say, I'm still going to get in your face and tell you you're wrong and you're going to hell because I love you and I don't want you to go there. Do we quit and give up? Or can we take the heat? Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, "Can you take the heat?" Jesus said in Luke's gospel, that word astonished, listen to what it means. It means to put out of wits, become astounded, be beside oneself. Is that the way you leave people? Wow. Like when Jesus came in and began to speak to the people, they said, "What a word is this?" I mean, that's what God wants to do through me and you. I mean, if he's going to give us the words, he's going to give us the words that's going to pierce their heart. And it's going to stop the gainsaying. Come on. He's going to give you words of wisdom. If we'll just stand, he'll put the words in our mouth. But we got to stand. You'll leave them like, "What in the world? Something hit me." I remember one time I was a supervisor at Alumax, and the guys that worked for me, they always respected my walk with the Lord. I mean, even other departments, if I'd walk up and one had his back to me and he was cussing and he turned around and saw me, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me." And I tell him, I said, "I'm not the one that's going to judge you, man." I said, "He hears you all the time, you know.
But now, the other supervisors, it's a different story. I walk into the office, shift supervisor's office there at Potline sometime, a bunch of them be hanging around there, you know, and one of them said, let me tell you this joke. I'd stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. Is it a clean joke? I don't know. Well, I said, I don't want to hear it. And I'd leave. Sometimes they start to tell a joke, and they said, you might want to leave. But I have walked in before and go in and I sat down over in the corner. And time I sat down, boy, they start on. They jump on with something, you know. And in my spirit, I could see, boy, they just, all of them is pounced on, you know, this religious thing and, you know, God stuff. And, you know, and honestly, in my spirit, I felt like I was curled up in the corner and they was beating and kicking me. And directly, the Lord would give a scripture. And the spirit now. And another. In a few minutes, buddy, I was up on my feet spiritually, sitting still in the chair. But spiritually, I was up, and every one of them sitting over there like they were sucking their thumb. I'm telling you, he'll give you the word if you can take the heat long enough. Amen. He said in Luke 16 and 10, he said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You hear people say, oh God, I wish the Lord would just give me $1 million. I'd give 10% to the church. That's $100,000. I'd give it to the church. You liar. What do you do with that $100? Do you give the 10 out of it? If you don't give the 10 out of the 100, you'll not give the 100 million. The 100,000 out of a million. Look, if you can't be honest with a little bit, how in the world can God bless you with the abundance? People are funny, aren't they? Boy, if I was a millionaire, I'd build the church. Well, I'll tell you what. I got a bill in yesterday. The insurance has come due on the church. It's $4,500. Just take care of that. Aren't you glad you go to a church that we ain't had to cook and sell donuts to pay for that? The money's in the bank. Don't that make you feel good? Because you give. It's why. Because you're faithful. That's why. That I don't have to get up here and beg. I would not pastor a church that I had to get up and beg money. Amen. We passed the plate one time, and the Lord sees what gives, and he's like the fish in loaves, and he's always supplied. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for his faithfulness. Verse number 12, and it says, and if you have been faithful in that which is another man's, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Now Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. You know, he's talking to people. And he's telling this, and they ain't liking what they hear. I mean, he said it just like I said it. That might be somebody in here that you might say, if I had $1 million, I'd give $100,000 to the church. And he looked back and said, what you do with that 100? Did you give the 10 out of that 100? And they got offended. Huh? Can you take the heat? Listen. Y'all might have got offended at me this morning. I don't know. Can you take the heat? I should have come in here mean this morning. See if y'all can take the heat. Can y'all take the heat? If I got mean. Boy, it'd be hard for a fellow like me to get mean. Listen. No servant can serve two masters. Or he will either hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. They
They jumped on him. They begin to, what does that mean? It means to sneer outright at. Well, you don't know what he's talking about up there. He's an idiot. He don't know what he's talking about. That's what it is. They begin to sneer outright at him, to make mouths at, to ridicule. They begin to ridicule the man that was trying to get him to heaven. The very man that was offering him life, they was wanting to cut down because he's offended them and they couldn't take the heat. Do you, when situations come to you and people begin to sneer at you or make mouths at you or ridicule you, what if you had been Jesus here in this situation? Would you have give up? Would you have quit if men make fun of you? Amen? When you're trying to show them the right way? I mean, would you quit? What would you do in this situation? How would you handle it? He said over in Psalms in the 22nd chapter, verse number 3, verse 1, he talks about, and what this is, this chapter is talking about Jesus Christ. It's a picture of him. The psalmist is talking here. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's when Jesus is on the cross. You remember the time? And Jesus is on the cross and he cried out. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You mean God forsake Jesus? It's because he had my sin. He had David Whitfield's sin on him. And God could not look on sin. And at that moment of time when he picked up all my sin and your sin and everybody's sin and put it on him, God couldn't. For that moment of time, he felt a loneliness. He felt God had left him because God cannot be entangled with sin. And he cried out. He didn't like that feeling of not feeling God. Yet some people live all their life and never feel God. Come on. He didn't like that feeling. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, he gets here in verse 3. He said about how people talk. And this is what he's saying. He said, but thou art holy. And thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. I mean, how good is God? How good is God to even to the sinner when I was in sin, yet he gave me breath and he gave me life. Come on, that was food that I ate. I made it up to the point of I could get saved and how good God is. And for people to shake their fist at them and say, there is no God. I'm telling you, they better be glad I'm not God. Verse 5, it says, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee. And we're not confounded. Sound like America too, don't it? How blessed we are in America. And yet we can't get far enough. Our government can't get far enough away from God. Verse 6 it says, but I am a worm and no man. This worm here is what they would use to get dye of scarlet and purple. And it's representing Jesus with the blood and the beating, the blue, the purple of the beating in Pilate's hall. And he's seeing him. He's seeing what Jesus went through for me and you. And when we tell people how much that Jesus loved them, that he suffered and he died, and they sneer at it, and I don't want anything to do with it. He's saying here, but he's a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. He said in Isaiah 53:3, he said he is despised and rejected of men. I'm talking about the creator of all was rejected of men. The one that came and made a way where there was no way, men rejected him. You say, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have rejected him. People are rejecting him every day, even today. But he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Amen. He says,
Luke's gospel in the 23rd chapter, listen to this. This is what he's talking about in Psalms 22. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus between two thieves. And Jesus then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lot. In other words, Jesus, looking after he'd been to Pilate's hall and he was beaten by people, when he went and they put a crown of thorns on him, called him the King of the Jews, when they spat on him, when they laughed and they ridiculed and poked fun at him, when they plucked his beard, when they crucified him, he still could take the heat and say, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. He still loved them. Can you take the heat? Or do we blow up and ball up? Do our water pots run empty on water and the pot starts to burn? Where you get the water at? The water of the Word. Think about it. Are y'all with me this morning? Verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. They sneered at him. They made fun and made mouths at him. They ridiculed him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, laughed at him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. I mean, they was laughing and mocking because Jesus said he never said he was a king. He said, thou sayest, I'm a king. And they put it on an old plaque, King of the Jews, laughing. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. Even one of the guys on the cross began to rail on him and laugh at him and rebuke him and ridicule him. Say, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Verse 40, this is where we're going. But, listen. The other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What is the moral of this little story you get into, Brother David? It is this. When the crowd comes at you, when you're talking and you're preaching to the crowd that is around you, and they're ridiculing you, and you're laughing, and they're laughing at you, and poking fun of you, and trying to just tear you down, I'm telling you, take the heat, because I'm telling you, there's one that can be in the crowd that's hanging over there that's watching and said, I want what you got. Remember me. Remember me. There could be one. Can you understand? Can you understand? You might not get the whole crowd, but if you can pick one of them off. What if Jesus had a blew up and went to cussing? The boy would have been burning in hell rather than in heaven today. But Jesus could take the heat, and praise God that he could take the heat. Therefore, my name is written in heaven and yours too. And that fellow that was hanging on the cross was there because he could simply take the heat. Said in Psalms 119 and 51, he says, the proud have had me in great derision. Derision means laughter, to scoff and mock, to make fun at. He said, the proud. The proud is the arrogant. That's what proud means, is arrogant, presumptuous. That's proud. He said in 2 Peter 2 and 4, let me finish 51 here. He said, the proud have had me greatly in derision. But you know what the psalmist is saying? I can take the heat. Yet have I not declined from thy law.
2 Peter 2:4, he says, "For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing the doubting and the sinning and the laughing at things of God and rejecting God, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." I'm telling you, you better fortify yourself that it don't harden you, that it don't get your goat, amen. That I'm telling you that you need to be able to withstand in the evil day. You need to put on the whole armor of God, that you can make it unto the end, that you can take the heat. He says, verse 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, they despise rules, they despise doctrine and discipline. Presumptuous they are they?" That means they're proud, they're arrogant, they're self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you," or feast on you. I'm telling you, you better be able to take the heat, or you're not going to make it even to next Sunday. But if you learn to take the heat, praise God, you'll even be here Wednesday night. You'll even come back tonight. "I was coming back," he said, "Dad, I ain't coming back, because you can't take the heat." You know, if you ever had somebody you try to invite to come to church and they won't come, don't invite them. Just look at them and say, "You can't come to our church. You can't come." "Why?" "Because I said you can't come." "Oh, yes, I can." "No, you can't. I'm telling you, you better not come." I'll come. I'll show you I come. "You better. I'm telling you, you better not come." "I'm coming to show you I come. I'm coming to that church." Come on. Oh. Glory, hallelujah. Help us, Lord. What does it say, Hebrews 10:31? "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." There's only the is one. The living God. I mean, sometimes when people giving you a hard time, that scripture right there, just do it. You know what Hebrews 10:31 says? I mean, look as serious you can be. And they say, What? "It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Don't say no more. Walk off. Let it cook for a while. Over in the middle of the night, that's a little short, simple scripture. But boy, that thing echoed in the middle of the night. Jeremiah 20th chapter. "O Lord, thou hast deceived me." That means opened. Lord, you've opened me up. You're expanding me. You're enlarging me, my commission.
I mean, Jeremiah, you know, remember what he said in the very beginning, chapter 1? I can't speak, I'm just a child. Now remember? He said, say not that thou art a child. Huh? Be not afraid of their faces. I've made you a mouth. He said, you've opened me up. I was deceived. I was enlarged. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. I'm in laughter and people making fun of me. Everyone mocking me, laughing at me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. I saw a movie about him one time. Man, that guy. Whew. And I'm sure the movie didn't even tell a fraction of what he really went through. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Not just every once in a while, daily. They was laughing at me daily. They was poking fun at me daily. I come to old Jeremiah. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Huh? He's walk into office sometime with them shift supervisors. You wonder all the time, just every once in a while. Especially when them televangelists messed up. Boy, I hated to go to work then. I walk in and say, there comes old Swaggart. There's old Swaggart now. I just walk on in, sit down with them laughing. I walk in and say, that old Jim Baker did his thing. He said, there's old PTL. Hey, PTL, pass the lady. Pass the loot. PTL, pass the loot. Pass the lady. There he is. There's old Baker himself. I just laugh at him. Because let me tell you, none of those things move me. Come on. I'm still here. Where are they at? Where are they at? Some of them's dead. Where are they at? I'm still here. Come on, I take the heat. You call me whatever you want to call me, but when he calls, you call me gone, because I'm going to be out of here. Amen. I'm gone. I'm not hanging around for nothing. Oh, glory. Listen, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. That's what I'll do. I'm tired of being laughed. I'm going to quit. You ever got there? Come on. I mean, if a man like Jeremiah gets to that point, come on, church. Admit it. You might need a little more shield on. Build up your faith. Get that faith, shield of faith a little thicker. Get like an old duck's back, them feathers. The water runs off of it, don't it? Get your little old bitty feelings intact. And a couple little old feelings you got that you feel with. Like a bug, them feelers out there. Yeah. Come on. Oh, help us, Lord. I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary for the forbearance, and I could not stay. I'm telling you, this word ain't no way I can quit. Come on. I'm telling you, where shall I go? David said, if I go into the mountains, thou art there. If I go into heavens, thou art there. If I go into the depths of the sea, thou art there. If I go into hell, thou art there. I'm telling you, the gifts and the calling are without repentance. I gotta preach it or I'll blow up. It's like a fire shut up in my bones that'll burn me up. I just gotta tell you. That's when you ever been around somebody and they're doing wrong, they cussing or doing wrong, and you sit there and you take it for just a little bit.
It's all you can do. And finally, you got to say something. That's what he's talking about. It's fire shit up in your mouth. I got to say something. Excuse me. I'm going to have to say something. Amen. I mean, when you see people on the wrong way, I'm talking about church people in their lifestyle, in the way they're living, in the way they're doing with their kids. I mean, after a while, it's all you can take. You just got a big mouth. Say something. No, it's burning in here. I got to get it out. Amen. He said, verse 10, for I heard the defaming, the slander of many, fear on every side. And then he said, they said, listen, report, they say they, and we report it. In other words, when you go into a room and somebody said, hey, Swaggart, and the rest of them will jump on. You report it, we'll back you. Hey, Swaggart, look, Swaggart, look at that. Hey. Or you say, look at that old Jesus freak. And then the rest of them, hey, look at that Jesus freak. You report, we'll say it too. Just make up something about Jeremiah and we'll spread it for you. Can you take the heat? Sometime I'm running to people and I went to Wendy's the other night and people looked at me kind of, and he said, they said, you're Brother Whitfield, aren't you, over at Deliverance Tabernacle? I said, yeah, yeah. You don't know what they heard. Yeah, I'm him. So somebody was talking about you the other day, and I said, oh, he was? Oh, it was good. I said, oh. Of course, now the Bible, you know, talks about, like Absalom, beware of that one that everybody talks good about. Huh? I mean, if I hear Christian people talk about David Creel over there and say, boy, he's a good singer, good Christian guy, lives what he sings and all this, you know. I go out there to the honky-tonk. You know, David Creel, he's a good old buddy. He's a pal of ours. I mean, you know, and you go down to the drug dealers, hey, yo, David Creel, yo, yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's a good old guy. Well, wait a minute now. Something ain't lining up here just right. I mean, the devil's got to be out there somewhere. And he don't like you. He don't like me. He don't like this church. Amen. He said, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we report it. All my familiars watched at my halting. Oh, they watch it. But let me tell you, there's that one thief on the cross, and he's watching too. And you see if you can take it. See if you really got what you talk you got. Come on. Preventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Amen. That's what he's telling us to do. Can you take the heat? Amen. Can you? He said in Luke in the 13th chapter. Somebody here come to music. He said in the 13th chapter, verse 31, he said, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And what did Jesus say? Go tell that fox, today I cast out devils and do miracles. Amen. And come on, that's today and tomorrow and on the third day, I'll be perfected. Amen. In other words, go tell that fox, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be right here. And when they try to shut your mouth or run you off, said, I'm going to be back in your face tomorrow. I'm going to be doing the same thing tomorrow. And the next day, you're not stopping me. I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. Got to have a made up mind, don't you? That's exactly right. See, a fox is a cunning person. In a bad sense, it's trickery. He said, go tell that fox. You go tell that fox. Call them who they are, right? He said in Hebrews 12:1, very familiar scriptures here. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I mean, there's the Bible's full of people that could take the heat. I mean, time would fail us to talk about David and Isaiah. And, come on, Moses. All the saints of old. Daniel. Come on, Paul, Peter, John, Mark, Matthew, Luke. Time would fail us to tell about Timothy. Time would fail us to talk about people who could take the heat. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set down before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God because he could take the heat. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And verse 4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. In other words, what he's saying is tighten up them little old simple feelings you got that's always getting kind of burnt on the end. Amen. Tighten them up a little bit. Come on, square your shoulders back, get you some backbone, and get ready to take the heat. Amen. You not resisted the blood. I don't see none of you bleeding in here this morning. I don't see a soul in here bleeding. Ain't nobody come in here been beat this week. You ain't been crucified this week. Come on, you not been stoned this week, have you? Is anybody? Come on, you've not resisted the blood yet because you're still reading out there. You'll be dead. You can make it, can't you? Last scripture, Galatians 6 and 9. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall faint if we endure to the end. If we faint not. Come on, stand with us all over this house. Amen. Maybe this morning, maybe this week, maybe in the past, you've been kind of walking your walk. And boy, I tell you, you just don't understand the things that come against you sometimes. And people just ridicule you. And you want a job maybe and everybody laughs because you're a Christian. Maybe everybody in your family just kind of making fun of you. Won't you come this morning and let the Lord comfort you?